Good morning. The thoughts of this morning will be based out of the passage we find in Matthew 16, 13 through 17, where it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" The title of thoughts for this morning are based out of this, but the topic is that your final answer? Is that your final answer? There's a very successful show that was on a while ago entitled Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The contestants were trying to win $1 million. If they answered all the questions correctly, they would be able to win this prize of $1 million. But before each question, the host asked the contestant, "Is that your final answer?" The implication was being that there's no turning back on your answer. Once you've given it, that's what you have to stand on. Now, this is very appealing to people in the world today to win $1 million. Probably appealing to a lot of us in here. It'd be nice to have some extra money, and I hope that we would use it wisely if we did do that. But the prospect of $1 million is something that's very appealing to many. From a human standpoint, $1 million is a lot of money. But in the light of eternity and spiritual things, $1 million really means absolutely nothing. Sure, it'll be helpful, but the Bible talks about the love of money as the root of all evil. Doesn't matter how much money that you make in this life or how many possessions you own. When your time on this earth is over, you won't be able to take a single penny with you to heaven. In 1 Timothy 6:7, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." All that's going to matter when this life is over is what you did for Jesus Christ, what you did concerning Him. That's a lot of the gist of what these thoughts are going to be about this morning. In this story, the disciples are called upon to tell who Jesus is, who they think He is. And their answer is going to determine where they're going to go from here, where they're going to go in eternity. Knowing who Jesus is so important to all of us. It's more important than any knowledge in the world. When Jesus asked, "But who say ye that I am?" He's asking the most important question that you'll ever be asked in your life. Because what you determine that Jesus is and what He's about will determine where you spend eternity. And if you come to the wrong conclusion, which I believe a lot of people won't hear, I'd say most of us, not all of us, come to the wrong conclusion, it's going to cost you far more than missing a question on who wants to be a millionaire. It can cost you the most precious and valuable possession you have. It will cost you your soul. In Mark 8, 36 to 38, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh into the glory of his Father with his angels." So we'd like to, for a little while, discuss what we know about Jesus and who He is. As I go through this, and as we go through these thoughts, I'd like for each and every one of you to look into your own heart. Think about who you think He is. Think about what your final answer would be. Are you willing to bank eternity on who you think Jesus Christ is? So let's think about these things as we talk about Jesus and we consider the question, is that your final answer? First thing, let's ask humanity and what humanity thinks about this. Who did men say that Jesus was in the past? During his life, man had a lot of things to say about him and who they thought he was. Some people thought he was John the Baptist, a holy man willing to die for his faith. Even King Herod in Matthew 14, 1 and 2 thought that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some thought he was Elijah, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. The Jews were expecting Elijah to return before the Messiah came. In Malachi 4 and 5, some believed that Jesus was the forerunner, but not the Messiah. Some believed he was Jeremiah, a holy prophet who was expected to return to earth just before the Messiah came. He was supposed to bring with him the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and the altar of incense, which he had hidden in Mount Nebo before he died. Some thought he was one of the prophets, a man of God that was sent with a message for their time, or a man in whom dwelt the spirit of one of the great prophets. Notice all these views elevated Jesus above the ordinary and normal man. They show that at least the Jews believed him to be a great man, even a holy man. But their views on him fall very short of what's required for salvation. Not everyone in Jesus' day thought he was a great man. Some thought he was nothing more than a nobody. Some even thought he was an evil man. I don't know how they could think that, but some thought he was. In Mark 6 and 3, it called him a lowly carpenter. In John 6 and 42, it called him the son of Joseph. In John 9 and 24, it called him a sinner. In John 8 and 41, a little illegitimate child. In Matthew 12 and 24, it called him a devil. In John 10 and 20, it called him a madman. In Matthew 27, 38 through 43, it called him a fool and the object of contempt and scorn. And in John 7, 3 through 5, even his half-brothers had harsh things to say about him. Now notice, if these people had all these types of things to say about Jesus back then, and at that point in time, what did they say about him after he left Earth and discontinued working miracles and demonstrating his power? So what do men say in the present? Just like they had an opinion back then about the identity of Christ in his day, they still have an opinion today. Now we're going to look at a few of the other beliefs and what they say about Jesus. First, the Jehovah Witnesses say that Michael the Archangel is no other than the only begotten Son of God, now Jesus Christ. They believe Jesus is the same as Michael the Archangel. The Mormons say that Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven. That's exactly right. And they also say that Lucifer, the son of the morning, is our elder brother and the brother of Jesus. They also say that Jesus was married at Cana of Galilee and had many wives, including Mary and Martha. He also had male children. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible here. The Moonies say that he, Jesus, can by no means be God himself. Islam says Jesus was no more than a mortal whom Allah favored and made an example to all the Israelites. They are unbelievers who say God is Messiah, is the Messiah, Mary's son. You know, all around us we have different ideas for man, different beliefs and different thoughts. Different opinions concerning Jesus Christ. Some think he was a good man. Others think he was a great teacher. People have all kinds of ideas concerning who Jesus Christ was. The sad thing is, as we just talked about and we shared these thoughts about other beliefs, it doesn't even come close to the truth in most cases. All these people and groups have ideas about him, but none of them are biblical ideas. And since humanity cannot help us determine the identity of Christ, let's ask heaven. Let's ask those of heaven. First, how does God think about it? Notice what God says about Jesus. He says in Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Also Matthew 17:5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God had great things to say about his Son, Jesus Christ. Next, let's consult the spirits. The spirit world has something to say about Christ. The angels in Luke 1:26-38 talked to Mary about the baby Jesus and how that she was going to have a child and name him Jesus. Also talks about in Luke 2:8-20, the angels talk about Jesus' birth and what's going to happen, how important he is. Also talks about the shepherds going visiting baby Jesus in the manger. The spirits, as we'll call them, hellish spirits, also recognize Jesus. Even the devils recognize Jesus. They know who he was about. They know what he was and who he was. They recognize Jesus in Matthew 8:29 and Luke 4:41. In James 2:19, it says the devils also believe and tremble. What's it say about who Jesus is in the scriptures? We could go on and on and on for hours and hours about that. There's many verses that talk about that. Many verses that address Jesus in different ways and tell who he is. A couple of these are Mark 1:1, Philippians 2:5-11. And there's, like I said, there's many other ones. But you know, even the names that are given to Jesus in the Bible speak of his position, speak of what he's about, how powerful he was. He's called Lord, which implies that he is in control, that he is a deity. He's called Jesus because the name means Jehovah is salvation. He's called Christ because that name means anointed, or refers to Jesus as the one chosen by God to be the Messiah to the world. The Bible is very clear on who Jesus is. There's a couple of saints that talk about the Bible. We could go on about that, about the saints. But when we think of a couple saints, we see in John 1:34, it says, John saw and believed. He believed because he saw Jesus. We know about the story of Paul, how he was struck blind, and how that he knew Christ. He knew what he was about. And he preached Christ in one of the most difficult places he could have preached, and that is in synagogue. Excuse me. Jesus also told Peter in Matthew 6:17, that the knowledge of who Jesus is does not come from the human heart. It comes from heaven above. It comes from God. Also, what does the Savior say about himself? You know, what a person says about himself is also important in discussing his identity and who he is. Here's some of the things that Jesus said about himself. John 14:9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." John 8:58, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 6:35, we just heard this verse, "I am the bread of life." John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." John 10:9, "I am the door." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." John 10:36, "I am the Son of God." John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 15:1, "I am the true vine." A man by the name of C.S. Lewis said, "Jesus Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord." I think it's pretty easy to answer this question. If we had to decide who he was, I hope we would say Lord. And I'm sure we would. Jesus was a great man, but here a man said he's one of these three. That's how the world looks at him. So we've heard the testimony from humanity, heard the testimony from the heavens, Now let's hear about the testimony from the heart. You know, in the pages of the Bible, several people had a personal encounter with Jesus, one that forever changed their lives. And here's a few of them, or here's some of them in their statements about Jesus I'd like to share with you. First Simeon in Luke 2, 28-32, it says, "Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Also Nathanael in John 1 and 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Also Simon Peter in Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The woman at the well in John 4 and 29 says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Martha in John 11 and 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world." We also have the story of the dying thief. We know the story very well. There was two thieves on the cross with Christ. One railed on him, and the other one said, "We're guilty. What are you saying? We're guilty," the other thief. And he asked Jesus to remember him. He says basically to remember him when in his kingdom. And Jesus said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Here's two thieves. One asked for forgiveness with Jesus and asked him to remember him in his kingdom. And Jesus rewarded him for that, saying he would be with him in paradise. The Roman centurion in Mark 15 and 39, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God." Also we have the story of Thomas. We know in this story that Thomas disbelieved. He had to put his hands and touch the scars on Jesus. He had to put his hand in his side. Without this, he said he would not believe. And when he did this, he was a believer. And because of this, it changed Thomas's mind. And then he said, "My Lord and my God." It took these things to convince him, but because of it, he confessed who Jesus was. You know, there's many other stories and witnesses we could go into to testify who Jesus really is. But these are probably sufficient to see that any life was touched directly by him is a life that's profoundly affected. Next, let's hear from our hearts. So far, we've heard from the man this morning. We've seen things among the human race. There are those who deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only way of salvation. We've had other testimonies that have been of people that have been changed by him, that indicate he is who he says he is and who claims to be. We've heard what his Father God said about him. We've listened to the angels talk about him. We've even heard the witnesses and the demons or the devils what they said about him. We've heard enough to be convinced today that Jesus Christ is someone who we should give the reverence to, someone who we should know, someone who we should think about. With that in mind, I ask you this morning, what is your heart saying about this? What does your heart say about him today? Is he just a baby at the human Christian Christmas? Excuse me, the human, by man's idea of Christ being born at Christmas time? Or is he a guy on the cross at Easter? Or is he crucified? Or is he your crucified and risen Lord of your life? Is he a way to God? Or the way, the truth, and the life? Is he a good man, a great teacher, and a prophet? Or is he the Son of God and your only hope for salvation? Is he a liar, a lunatic, or is he your Lord? How does your heart feel about that today? Has there ever been a moment in time where you trusted Jesus enough to come to him and to be saved? Has there been a time when you saw yourself as a sinner and him as your only hope? I hope that's on a daily basis. Without him, we could not make it to heaven. Are you trusting Jesus alone for your salvation today? I have some verses I'd like to read that go along with this. One we're really familiar with, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." These verses are talking about we only have salvation through Jesus Christ, through him giving his life on the cross for us. I'd like to read this little part down here. It's talking about what will you do with Jesus. It says, "Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and waiting. He's knocking. He's knocked before. That is the question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? At your sad heart, he is knocking still, longing to enter your soul to fill. You must accept or reject his will. What will you do with Jesus? Oh, will you leave him outside? Or will you choose him, whatever betide? This is a question you must decide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will Jesus do with me?" So I ask you this morning, what is your final answer today? Is your answer the right answer that's going to guarantee you a home in heaven when you leave this world? Or is your answer the kind that pleases the flesh, the world, and the devil? Or is it the kind that pleases the Lord? Excuse me. Are you saved? Have you taken the steps of salvation? Become a child of his? Accepted him? Had your sins washed away? Do you want to be saved? Is that your final answer? We're going to give you the opportunity to come before at this time as we offer the gospel invitation. Because, you know, as we think about what should we do with Jesus? One day the question is going to be, what will Jesus do with us at the end of time? So we're going to offer the gospel invitation to anyone who has not put on Christ, anyone who would like to come forward and be baptized, have your sins washed away. Or if you have anything else that we can assist you with, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.